warning bell continues. Reports of people and supplies being moved into Hong Kong continue. People who were trained beforehand to do what mercenaries like them to do after a revolution and takeover occur. But the world government, artificial intelligence, elite planning, a different takeover of your life and mine is scarier. The Chi-Com plan for Hong Kong's loss of freedom. We'll take it tonight in steps so you can see what has landed at the front steps of the White House, maybe coming to your door in the next few years if we don't all rise up with a loud voice to stop it. I'm Lou Caraway, and my co-host is Elizabeth Covered Caraway.
Yes, as vigilant citizens who love liberty, we must look at two increasingly sinister threats. Number one, big tech and the elite's horrifying plan of artificial intelligence, tyranny. And we have to think about this headline. Is Trump really considering the social credit score that has invaded China? Number two, leftist, atheist, Marxist in our government creating havoc and treason.
Elizabeth and I want to share Dr. Bob Glaser's essay from the Prophetic Observer for September 2019. It's entitled, The Squad. There are now those of the Democratic Party who are leaning towards something even more sinister than socialism, Marxism. The leader of this move is not Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, but a foursome being called The Quad or The Squad. This group is made up of four women of color who make Nancy and Chuck sound like ultra-conservatives. They take the Democratic Party even further to the left, with a new party name, the Justice Democrats. Certainly the vast majority of the Democratic Party would not agree with their politics, but they are allowing these four women to take the lead by their representation. Just what do Justice Democrats demand, and who are they? These neo-libs are the opposite of the neocons. The neo-libs believe that most Democrats are not far enough left and challenge them in the primaries to eventually take their seat, regardless of how long they've been in office. Since most voters, Democrats and Republicans, pay little or no attention to primaries, they could be more easily beaten at a runoff level than the general election trying to unseat an incumbent. They choose the weakest sitting Democrats and oppose them with a member of the Justice Democrats. Their goal is to add their brand of politics to every seat in the House of Representatives and Senate, eventually taking over and changing the direction of liberty into the enslavement of nothing less than communism. For instance, Sean McElwee, the liberal co-founder of Data for Progress, selected a list of Democratic House members that should be opposed. According to the New York Times, quote, there was Representative Stephen F. Lynch of Massachusetts, a moderate, perennial primary target who voted against the Affordable Care Act in 2010. Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas, who raised money for a Republican House incumbent last year as a popular Democratic challenger was closing in. Representative Daniel Lipinski, an old-school Chicago-area politician who has voted against gay marriage and tried to sink Obamacare. And Representative Elliot L. Engel of New York, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, who has clashed with one of the highest profile liberal freshmen, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. Although the Quad is mainly at war with white men, any beatable Democrat of any color is fair game. They are dedicated to the goal of impeachment of President Trump.
The first member of the Squad is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC as she is known. AOC was born on October 13, 1989, which makes her too young to run for president. She will not be eligible until 2024. Hopefully, she will become ancient history by then. AOC graduated from Boston University and majored in international relations and economics. She beat the 10-term incumbent Democrat Joe Crowley. She is one of the first Justice Democrats to win a seat in the House of Representatives and is an active member of the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA. AOC claims that she may be a descendant of Sephardic Jews that fled from the Spanish Inquisition to the Caribbean. AOC advocates free Medicare for all, federal jobs guarantee, abolishing the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, free public college for all, a 70% marginal tax rate for incomes above $70 million, and she backs the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal would eliminate the use of coal, oil, natural gas, nuclear, and internal combustion engines. And that's sourced at heritage.org. In 2017, the Justice Democrats sent out notices for auditions to become their representative in the U.S. House of Representatives. AOC's brother entered her name, and she was selected for the role. She was found in a restaurant working as a bartender. She was trained for the role and was coached by the founders of the Justice Democrats. She is nothing more than an actress, not a politician. In the 2018 elections, 26 of the 79 candidates endorsed by the Justice Democrats won their primaries. Out of the 26 chosen, 7 became representatives. And I have a little, there's a typo problem here. I'm not sure of the name. I believe it's Roy Grigieva. So some of you out there might be able to correct that. Khanna, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Pramila Jayapal. And that's sourced from Wikipedia.org. Their plan in 2020 is to run for 104 seats in the House, eventually taking over the House.
The next member of the squad is Representative Ilhan Omar.
I believe that's Ilhan.
We've heard it both ways, haven't we? Ms. Omar of Minnesota. She is a Muslim born in Somalia, and she came to the United States as a refugee and became an American citizen in 2000. She also ran with the support of the Justice Democrats. She is a proponent of Medicare for all, abolishing ICE, tuition-free college, and debt forgiveness, and raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Being Muslim, she is extremely anti-Semitic and is a vocal critic of the so-called bad treatment of the Palestinians by Israel. She has been arrested for trespassing and racked up a series of traffic violations, including driving without a license. She seems to believe she is responsible to Sharia law only. The next member of the squad is Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, who is the first Palestinian-American woman to serve in Congress. She supports Medicare for all, a $15 minimum wage, debt-free college, and abolishment of ICE. Tlaib became the first Muslim woman to join the U.S. Congress. Hours after being sworn into Congress, Tlaib grabbed headlines when she told the audience at a progressive event, quote, "We're going to go there, or to go in there, and we're going to impeach the mother blank," in reference to Trump.
We know that's mother F-er. We can at least give you that much.
Yep. Unquote. Tlaib also supports boycott, divestment, sanctions, that is BDS, of Israel, the Palestinian-led campaign promoting a boycott of Israeli manufacturing and produced goods from other countries. The purpose of BDS is to apply political and economic pressure on the state of Israel to form a two-state solution. This position proves that she is anti-Israel and anti-Semitic.
The final member of the progressive quad is Ayanna Pressley. She sometimes shows signs of not being part of the group. For instance, quote, "The matter in question was a resolution opposing a Palestinian-led movement to boycott Israel. The measure passed the House overwhelmingly on July 23rd. Among the 17 no votes were 3 members of the squad, Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. Pressley, the fourth, voted yes. She worked for Senator Kerry for 13 years. She is a consummate progressive whose moral attributes are in doubt. Quote, "One former aide recalls the reaction among male counselors to one of Pressley's early initiatives to bolster sex education programming and provide condoms in Boston public schools." That came from Politico.com. She also campaigned for more black liquor stores to increase the number of black businesses in her district. The Justice Democrats do not represent the moderate Democrats, but represent a new party that should be called the Anti-Party because they seem to be against all sanity and their far-out demands. The founders of the Justice Democrats have taken Bernie's socialist ideas and made a left turn with them. The three leaders of Justice Democrats met back in 2015 when the only thing they had in common was the fact that they each dropped everything they were doing and went to work for Sanders not long after he declared his candidacy. I wasn't entirely sure he had all the right solutions, but I knew he was talking about the right problems, Chakrabarty, one of the leaders, tells Rolling Stone.
Shamishta Chakrabarty is a member of the House of Lords in Britain. She was born of Bengali parents and is British by birth. Corbyn Trent was the other co-founder of the Justice Democrats. End quote. Corbyn Trent is a co-founder of Brand New Congress and a co-director of Justice Democrats, two grassroots organizations working to elect progressive Democrats to Congress. Leaders who work for real people and not big money interests. Trent was the national campaign coordinator for the Bernie Sanders campaign and recently served as the communications director of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And that quote is from campaignforamericasfuture.org. Trent was AOC's chief of staff during her campaign.
So where do these people get the backing to destroy America? The former governor of Arkansas has this to say about George Soros' contribution to America's destruction. Quote, members linked to Soros-funded digital media asked Ocasio-Cortez to run for office, the report states, which guarantees she would get favorable news coverage by a media network that reaches almost 300 million people monthly. Well, we know it was Justice Democrats who recruited her to run for office, so this suggests a strong connection. According to the Media Research Center, Soros funds nearly every major left-wing media source in the United States. However, neither Bernie Sanders or now Justice Democrats have proved to be far left enough, so a new organization is now being formed. Where will it all end? If any one of the left-wing Democrats should happen to win the next office of the president, we are in deep trouble. If one is elected, then we know the end has to be near. Luke 21:28, and when these things come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Israel often found itself in the same position because of a lack of reliance on the Lord, but it was their own fault for not following God's direction. Quote, now for a long season, Israel hath been without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. 2 Chronicles 15:3-5. Will God be found among the people of this nation, or will these great vexations bring about the end? And if you appreciate a program like this that has a Christian viewpoint and no commercials within our program, you can send a little cash, or you can send letters of encouragement. If you cannot contribute, you could make out a money order to WWCR or a check to WWCR. We can't take personal checks to us. And you can send it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we're on the radio because we do care about freedom. We do care about the people on earth, God's children, because we really do not want to see worldwide tyranny come. And the elite has planned so many harmful things for all of us. Do all of you know that the use of fluoride was pioneered in the Nazi concentration camps to sedate the prisoners? And yet, Europe has escaped fluoride, but why is it in the water of the cities in America? Why is this? Why do we have trouble in the vaccines? Why do we have thimerosal, that deadly mercury brain killer? Why is that in there? Why do we have these huge rates of autism when it used to be something like 1 in 30,000 about 20 years ago, and now it's something like 1 in 15 if you're a boy, I believe? And it's time now. The magazines are telling you to get... if you're a grandparent, you better get your shot for whooping cough, because you wouldn't want to give that to your little grandchild. When the funny part is, Lou, most people who are grandparents have had the whooping cough. I had it, and it didn't kill me. And then, of course, it's the season for the flu shot. We remember Dr. Stan Monteith of Radio Liberty, our late beloved mentor, had featured the research of Dr. Fudenberg. And Dr. Fudenberg had done a study that if you got the flu shot something like 4 years in a row, your chances of getting Alzheimer's later just skyrocketed. And Lou, I think you remember we taught together in a little Christian school some years back. Do you remember that janitor?
Oh, yes. He couldn't lift his arm up, could he?
No. And we asked him what was wrong. We thought maybe he had just been injured, you know, doing work, hard work. No, he had had a flu shot, and he had Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yes.
So, you know, you want to think a lot. You want to pray about whether you should get into big pharma and get all of this inoculation, or whether you use your own body's defenses. And in using your body's defenses, make sure, if you're over 50, that you use sublingual vitamin B12 frequently. Because once you're over 50, there's something called intrinsic factor, and it's part of your digestion, and it won't digest the B12 in a capsule form. So it's so important that you can get this right into your bloodstream. Lou has a relative who did some work in nursing homes, and she told us about a woman who was always having hallucinations when her B12 level was low. So you wouldn't want to be misdiagnosed, would you, as having Alzheimer's or dementia when it's simply a deficiency of B12. And also, I've mentioned before, you want to avoid the additive sodium benzoate, because there was research done on it that showed it appears to harm the mitochondria, those little parts of your cell. So we do want you all to stay well, and we need great prayer for our country at this time. Alex Jones said yesterday on his program, he came to the microphone with a heavy heart, and well, he should, when we get all of the rest of this told to you. Let's move right on, Lou.
Yes. Apparently the Know-Nothing Democrats know nothing about Antifa either. Here we have from CNS News, entitled, Not One Democratic Presidential Candidate Responds to Question Asking Them If They Condemn Antifa. This is by Mark Jennings and Cody Leach, August the 8th, 2019. Despite the well-documented violence of the radical left Antifa group, the Department of Homeland Security classifies it as domestic terrorist violence, not one of the 23 Democrats running for president would condemn Antifa when repeatedly asked by CNSNews.com over the course of 12 business days. The Trump administration did respond within a day, condemning Antifa. In emails and telephone calls to the press offices and campaigns of the 23 Democrats running and of the Trump campaign, CNSNews.com asked the candidates to answer two questions about Antifa based on background about the group reported by Politico. On September 1st, 2017, Politico ran a story entitled FBI Homeland Security Warn of More Antifa Attacks. Politico reported, federal authorities have been warning state and local officials since early 2016 that leftist extremists known as Antifa had become increasingly confrontational and dangerous, so much so that the Department of Homeland Security formally classified their activities as, and this is in quotes, domestic terrorist violence, according to interviews and confidential law enforcement documents obtained by Politico. Unquote. Politico went on to quote a senior law enforcement official, quote, it was in that period, just as the Trump campaign emerged, that we really became aware of them, said one senior law enforcement official tracking domestic extremists in a state that has become a front line for clashes between the groups. These Antifa guys were showing up with weapons, shields, and bike helmets and just beating the blankety-blank out of people. They used Molotov cocktails. They started fires. They threw bombs and smashed windows, unquote. So CNSNews.com then asked the candidates, one, do you condemn Antifa? And two, do you believe federal law enforcement agencies should take all lawful steps necessary to prevent Antifa from engaging in domestic terrorist violence during the 2020 U.S. election campaign? Congress I'm sorry, CNSNews.com repeatedly sent these questions to the 24 candidates by email and telephone between July 23rd and August 7th of this year. Not one Democratic candidate responded. The Trump campaign answered on July 24th. Many of the Democratic candidates' press offices confirmed that they had received the question and thanked CNSNews.com for, quote, reaching out, unquote. For instance, the Beto 2020 campaign said, quote, thanks for reaching out again. We have passed your follow-up request along to the press team, unquote. The Hickenlooper 2020 campaign said, thank you for reaching out. I passed along your information to our press team, and they should be in touch soon. Thanks and giddy up. Now, although the Democrats did not condemn Antifa, the Donald Trump campaign for president did. Kayleigh McEnany, National Press Secretary for the campaign, told CNSNews.com in an email, quote, the Trump campaign condemns all forms of violence. Meanwhile, Democrats in Congress refuse to condemn Antifa's violent attacks against innocent Americans. From beating an innocent journalist to the point of having a brain hemorrhage, to firebombing an ICE facility, Antifa has committed a variety of violent attacks with one common response from Democrats, silence.
Yes, Lou. Well, there was somebody who didn't remain silent about this group, and that is Dr. James Dobson. Unlike the Dems, he tells it as it is, that we are under this coming anarchy and tyranny should they win out. And Dr. James Dobson said that this is the headline, U.S. in serious jeopardy from one disturbing threat. This was posted by Bob Unruh on August 4th, 2019 at WorldNet Daily. And, of course, Dobson is the author of more than 30 books on the family, and he was an associate clinical professor of pediatrics at the University of Southern California School of Medicine for 14 years. He was on staff for 17 years at Los Angeles Children's Hospital. And so you see, he's no just bystander with no pedigree. So he is also the founder of Focus on the Family, the James Dobson Family Institute, and Family Talk Radio. He warns, revolutionaries are threatening the nation. Their goal is to recast America as a Marxist, atheistic, all-powerful form of government, he said in a commentary in his August newsletter. I write you today to express my profound concern for our nation and for everything cherished by people of faith. Love of country as we have known it is in serious jeopardy. Those who are determined to fundamentally change America have forged a virulent and growing political movement that recognizes no allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, he said. They think they have a better idea. People like that despise the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he said. Indeed, the concept that our freedoms were a gift from the Creator is anathema to these revolutionaries. I am especially concerned about a generation of children who are being manipulated and warped day by day. These vulnerable boys and girls have no defense against activists and some liberal teachers who are propagandizing them. They see our kids as a way to guarantee their vision of a socialist future. He noted that one of his friends, Jack Graham, senior pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, recently addressed the issue and granted Dobson permission to share his message. And one thing that Graham said was that socialism is a political and economic system in which there is government ownership of the means of production and the primary focus of providing equality. Socialism favors large government and governmental control of social services and much more. The government is all important and is involved in every aspect of the lives of those whom it rules. And, of course, he pointed out the difference with capitalism, that there was private ownership, private property, private possession of goods, and that there was a limited role for the government. Americans always have loved capitalism and its freedoms, but suddenly 4 in 10 Americans are embracing some form of the restrictions of socialism. We're past the Cold War now, and a generation has arisen that either hasn't been taught history, doesn't read or understand it, or doesn't care. They are listening to their liberal teachers, professors, and politicians, and what they have been told sounds good. It appears compassionate and loving, but is it? I can say emphatically that it is not. And, of course, Dobson goes on to say that socialism is fundamentally at odds with the Christian worldview because it seeks to suppress all people according to the dictates of the state. No one serious about their Christian faith can accept socialism, and here's why. Socialism is totally secular and is predicated on atheism. That is a fact. Our faith in Jesus Christ is built on the Word of God, the revelation of Scripture, and the belief that God exists. We believe in the coming resurrection of Christ, and with that faith comes freedom to live an abundant life that is founded on liberty. On the other side is Karl Marx, the father of socialism, who considered Christianity, quote, a drug to be used to pacify the public, Graham said. And, of course, Dobson says that socialism today still teaches hate for God, with churches in China detonated and Christians persecuted. Just look at what socialism did during the 20th century, Graham noted. Lenin's destruction of 3 million in Russia, 25 million dead in World War I, Stalin's murders of 60 million, 50 million dead during Adolf Hitler's reign, 45 million Chinese butchered under Mao. This is the record of brutal socialist dictators in the past 100 years. These are words that we really should share with our youth. If you have some grandchildren or children who are in school who are being brainwashed, you ought to tell them some of these facts. You should tell them to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that is DividedKingdomRadio.com. Dobson said, I hope you will remember these exhortations when you continue to hear the mainstream media promoting socialist revolution in the days ahead. And now we're moving on again.
Yes.
We're going to share what Marxism is.
Yes, Elizabeth and I want to share with you a vital breakdown of Marxism written by Dr. Peter Jones, founder of TruthExchange.com, a ministry dedicated to sharing the gospel in an increasingly pagan culture. Dr. Jones's essay appeared in Gary Carr's Hope for the World update, summer 2019.
And that title, Is Marxism All That Bad? By Dr. Peter Jones. I have long vowed not to employ simplistic theological and spiritual categories in debates over politics, since there are genuine Christians in each political party. But as some politicians lunge to wild extremes, Christians need to pause long enough to understand the larger picture. Ultimately, politics starts with worldview. Christians are called by God to be sensitive to injustice, generous with those in need, and eager to see each human being made in God's image receive respect and compassion. In the early church, believers were so dedicated to loving one another that they eagerly distributed their goods and funds to those in need. Isn't such a system better than greedy capitalism, in which billionaires find tax loopholes? In light of unfair practices, many voting citizens are considering the possible benefits of a socialist or semi-Marxist structure. Some contend that Marx, in his hostility to Christianity, was only attacking the wealthy Christians of his day, not criticizing true Christianity's concern for the poor. Under proper circumstances, can religion not sit down at the table with some kind of socialist or Marxist economic theory? Can we not mitigate the worst aspects of capitalism while avoiding the worst effects of old-style Marxism? Such equitable modern terminology is attractive. Perhaps we could create a neo-Marxism, a more humane variant of its atheistic forebear.
In such a discussion, we must first understand the core tenets of the old-style Marxism. What did Marx believe? What did he advocate? Marx was a thoroughgoing materialist who hated religion with an unrelenting passion because he considered it a main barrier in creating a quote-unquote just socialist society. In his book, Marxism and Religion, Marxist scholar David McFaulin says that, quote, for Marx, religion is metaphysically and sociologically misguided, and unquote. And that, quote, its disappearance is the necessary precondition for any radical amelioration of social conditions, unquote. For Marx, God only exists in man's imagination as a projection of himself. If Marx is right about this, then we cannot derive our dignity from being made in God's image, because there is no God. If Marx is right, then justice is defined and enforced by whichever sinful human bureaucrats hold power. In history, Marxism has never worked out well. Old-style Marxism included the destruction of the family and the practice of abortion, two hauntingly familiar ideals prevalent in our own culture, which aspires to redefine the family and rationalize infanticide. Marxism is pure secular oneism, the paradigm that sees no distinction between God, man, and nature, in which the only reality is selfish humanity without any transcendent laws to reign in evil. If selfishness is not curtailed, those in power will freely impose their will on others. Needless to say, today's neo-Marxists realize that it would be political suicide to build a platform on an openly anti-Christian agenda, although those who favor infanticide are getting close.
In every case where Marxism has been tried, the cultural product looked nothing like the voluntary generosity described in the New Testament book of Acts. Instead, without the protection afforded by the divine laws of God, countless millions were slaughtered in the name of social justice. We need a little historical overview. In the 1960s, prominent American theorists of socialism and community organizing, oh, where have we heard that before? Oh, yes, Obama was a community organizer. We remember now, don't we? So these proponents of doing this, quote, devised a plan to provoke chaos by deliberately overwhelming governmental systems to the point of collapse, paving the way for state intervention in favor of a collectivist system. Frances Fox Piven, with her colleague Andrew Cloward, were members of Chicago's Socialist New Party, which closely followed the playbook of neo-Marxist Saul Alinsky, who deliberately avoided the term Marxism and was an expert in linguistic deception. David Horowitz, once a revolutionary Marxist himself, observes that the New Left had learned the technique of stealth following the influential teachings of Alinsky. But if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it is a duck. So in what way is this duck fundamentally and theologically anti-Christian?
The preferred term these days is neo-Marxism. And while even this term is not used in political circles, it now defines a more humane variant of its atheistic forebear. Actually, this version of Marxism, sometimes called cultural Marxism, is even more radical than the old Marxism. It has to go beyond the anti-capitalist liberation of the worker because the free market eventually took care of the worker's economic needs. Neo-Marxism, therefore, brings a full-orbed Marxist cosmology, a complete worldview liberating more than just the worker's economic situation, but the worker's psyche and his or her sexual fantasies. The system has emerged as a wholesale program of humanly generated and subjective, quote, identity politics, unquote, severely opposing the so-called dominant oppressors. The vision is broad, as outlined by Melanie K. Kantrowitz and Leslie Kagan. Quote, our concept of socialism is not limited to restructuring work and economic activity, and embraces altering the full range of social, cultural, political, and familial structures and power relations. The socialism we build must address all aspects of power, all the institutional forces that affect our lives, unquote.
The new Marxism seeks to transform more than just the working conditions of the economically disenfranchised and the downtrodden. Its goal is to liberate the human being from the chains of God's created structures. Contemporary American socialists and under-the-radar Marxists have the political and cultural wind in their sails. We are the underminers, and this is our time, declare the radicals who are working to remake America into a new progressive society. Here is the important definition of their immediate goals. They do not want to ameliorate Western culture, On the contrary, they want to unmake it, for as they say, to undermine something is to weaken its very foundation in order to bring about its eventual collapse. There is hardly a better way of explaining the violent confrontation between the left and right. How close to real power are neo-Marxist socialists? The programmatic book on this new movement is Imagine Living in a Socialist USA, hailed appropriately by the author of Marxism in the United States, Paul Buell, as the best, the most insightful, and the most lively work on socialism to appear in a long time. Imagine Living states clearly that socialism is a social agenda of radical egalitarianism or sameness to create the one new world of redemptive Marxist fantasy.
In other words, caring for the downtrodden is a pretext. The real goal is the radical religious program of the Onest Lie, which seeks to wipe God. Let's see now. I don't believe I have the quite correct continuation
here. I don't
here.
Think we do on this, but it,
so
of course
continue.
It's to wipe God out.
Yes. In the 1920s, a group of Marxist intellectuals in Germany, affiliated with the University of Frankfurt, set up the Frankfurt School, also known as the Institute for Social Research. When Hitler came to power, he sought to destroy communism, and the institute was closed down. Most of its participants regrouped in New York under a new body affiliated with Columbia University. Most notable was Herbert Marcuse, whom I heard lecture at Princeton, who toured American college campuses in the 1960s with his neo-Marxist message. It is now well documented that Marxist ideas dominate the teachings on current university campuses, where conservative speech is often banned, as it is on many news and social media sites. And progressive, quote-unquote, restructuring has seeped into our highest offices. Consider the last U.S. president and his administration. President Barack Obama began his presidency by stating, quote, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally changing America," unquote. What did he mean? Though no one pressed him for an explanation of the change he hoped to bring, we are fair in considering the influences he had in his pre-presidential days. As a young man, Obama was deeply influenced by a committed Marxist, Frank Marshall Davis. This is the Frank in Obama's book, Dreams from My Father. Frank was a member of the Chicago Communist Party, who never deviated from the party line. Historian Paul Kenger states, "No other person can claim the title of Obama's mentor. Frank is a lasting, permanent influence, an integral part of Obama's sojourn," unquote.
And, Lou, we must interrupt at this time because those words, we'll get back to this important essay by Dr. Peter Jones, but those words, Obama's sojourn, are very unsettling here today because we had important news on September 3rd. That was that the FCC, it was having a symposium, and they were going to shut down anything that went viral. And the idea was to get Matt Drudge. And, of course, the world really always looks to Matt Drudge. Things are linked there, aren't they, from very important articles.
That's right. You can simply click to go to any article that he lists, and he lists some of the most incisive, most influential articles that we all ought to be reading.
Yes, and it has been about 1 year now since Alex Jones and InfoWars were deplatformed by the big tech social media giants. And so now this symposium was discussing getting rid of likes, too. That was Facebook. So you see, you're being curtailed in your thinking. Things that you approve, we're not really supposed to share with others. We're being increasingly isolated so that they can put us in that little tank that they want to eventually with the brain chip. Now, this race to get to the artificial intelligence, Alex Jones had a message for President Trump that it was a trap, that it was like in The Lord of the Rings, that there was only really one ring to bind them all. And this is the trap here with this idea of the Obama sojourn ending. It hasn't really fully ended. The Pentagon launches new program against viral internet control, or content, rather content. So we can see there by that headline, I believe that was used in DrudgeReport.com and perhaps by Paul Joseph Watson, the Pentagon launches this program against viral internet content. Why should the Pentagon be involved in our First Amendment rights? I wonder about that. But what we have the expose of the Clinton-Obama stay-behinds. See, this sojourn is still going on. They're in the intelligence networks, and they are pushing. They're pushing. And is Trump in control of the Pentagon? Alex Jones thinks perhaps not. So, you see, this is becoming total, absolute surveillance over all of us. And Alex Jones talked on that day, September 3rd, that the Internet was designed for total control. We must reverse that course. And a lot more happened. But, again, in getting into this symposium that the FCC was having, there were elements in this. It was composed, I think, these players were the FBI, CIA, tax-free foundations, the Atlantic Council. Now, that's a private group that's getting funding from, I think, maybe 20 foreign governments. And the National Security Council. Why does James Clapper still have his security clearance? It was supposed to be taken away, but it never was. You see, we're here at the mercy of this Marxism Part 2. Alex Jones brought out that Google has hired 100,000 former Stasi members. I mean, there we see the tyranny. The tyranny redux, it's coming. Corporations and governments of the world have decided to go authoritarian. And I believe, Lou, I don't know whether you knew this, they were even calling Mitch McConnell Moscow Mitch with no corroboration.
I didn't know that, no.
And how much money do you think was set aside there for this kind of thing, this part two of Obama? $2 billion. And there are at least 20 nations involved in all of this, this symposium kind of deal, this thing. And they said anyone who foments discord, you see, they're going to be really looked at. We're not supposed to do any thinking for ourselves. Actually, Alex Jones said that's what America is, someone like Martin Luther King not accepting discrimination against the African-American people. And Alex said this whole architecture of the Internet, it's now the NSA gone public. That was one day. That was things going on that we really were very troubled by that. But we have much, much more. And we said that something's arriving at the White House. So Wednesday, September 4th, Alex Jones said that with a heavy heart he came to his listeners. And what it is, again, we have the Drudge Report headline, Trump administration is considering the use of the Chinese social credit score for buying guns. It's something like that. If it isn't exactly like that, it's close. And there would be a new agency called HARPA. No, it's not DARPA. It's HARPA. All of your smart devices that are listening in to you, your car, in your boat, your washer. My new washer is probably reporting everything Lou and I discussed before this program. And big tech wants to get this sent right back to the government. How can we ever think of such a thing? We were going to review again the social score credit in China, but if you just go to our archives for last week, go to dividedkingdomradio.com, please share that program. The title, I think, was Hong Kong Warning Bell. You will hear what lies in your future if President Trump would even consider such a thing. This is just unbelievable. We're very disappointed that anything has gotten to this point. It's just to put populations into a giant algorithm. And remember, they said to get Drudge. Drudge is one of the few people who's still telling the truth. And Alex Jones said, we have a right to know we're being listened to. And he gave some history. Back in 1962, there was a DARPA policy. And this was adopted. The idea was to make these systems, and that would be the coming Internet, addictive till, quote, a symbiosis with AI machines would occur. And those who are building this kind of architecture, Alex thought, were to domesticate people into, quote, a spiritual death. We've heard of some old friends, their daughter perhaps has a problem like bipolar, but the internet didn't help her. They said she's up at night, she's into all of this. You see what they're trying to do? They're trying to destroy the souls in our children. We reported all summer on the drag queen events in the schools, in Maryland, in California, in the libraries. All of these things are part of the satanic plan to take away our freedom, too. So the Washington Post was reporting. Now, of course, Drudge linked to this. The Washington Post reported that Trump is considering having all devices listen and watch. And that then, you see, they could consider all this evidence that Alexa heard or the Samsung TV in your living room heard. If you had a fight with each other, oh, now we can get the red flag laws. Oh, you're a psychiatric case. You see how this is? See how this is going to work? Ironically, Lou just bought a 1984, didn't you, at the bookstore?
Yes, I did.
You wanted to buy it because our copy is somewhere else in another state. So Alex Jones said that it appeared to be the case. I guess it's alleged that Ivanka Trump and Trump's best friend are quarterbacking this, presenting this to him. And Alex Jones gave the history of DARPA. It was set up by head psychiatrist to track you. 1962, DARPA and the Brain Initiative. Then we had, even in 1951, the Carnegie Endowment for Ending War, and that had the goals of ending the family. People would live in a tank. Now, I'm not making a funny story here. No. And some of these elements were shown in the 1999 film, The Matrix. And Alex Jones has 100 documents from MIT and DARPA. And the ultimate end of this would be you'd be plugged into your pleasure centers. You see, after you're addicted long enough, you watch the football games, you watch all of the other things streaming from Netflix, everywhere else. So, you see, then finally they might get you into this tank. They said they want to do this within 10 years. I say good luck. There are still a lot of American Christians. There are a lot of men with guns, no matter what Joe Biden has said. And you are told you'll live forever. See, you're going to merge with the AI, the artificial intelligence in the tanks, but you're going to be murdered. That's what it really is. You're just being acclimated, so you'll accept all this stuff. So if they get the social credit score from China put in, see, then Alexa, Google, Facebook, they'll determine who can buy a gun and under this new agency called HARPA. Isn't that interesting? And these red flag laws will take away the guns. And I think that Alex is right. This is a total Big Brother takeover rollout. We've heard stories that Tim Cook of Apple went out to dinner with the Kushners. We don't know what's going on, but we need a lot of prayer for our president. We certainly don't think he would be stupid enough to come out in favor of this. Actually, these agencies that are setting up all of their inner workings to defeat him in the coming election. But to accept this social credit score from China would be so blatantly evil that I believe most Christian people would never vote for him again. What do you think, Lou?
Oh, I completely agree with you. I don't think I could in any way support him if he was in favor of this. And I don't think many Christians or other thinking people
would ever do that.
Would ever do that.
No. And when we go back again and look at the roots of the sinister plan, Google's Scott Hoffman in December of 2013 made a statement that the goal was a brain implant. And we said on this program before that Aaron Russo, the late documentary filmmaker, was told by Nick Rockefeller that was the goal, to get a brain chip into every human being on the planet. And Paul Watson made a comment on InfoWars that they want to catch early brain activity in violence. See, they'll measure the anger in your voice, etc. And we remember when I wrote my books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, there was something under the office at that time. Remember, what was it, TIA? I think so. Have it later. But there was something like that. They were going to measure, look at you, and use instruments to see if you were sweating a lot or you were excited in an emotional state. See, they're going to use these things to set people up in the red flag law so they can get the guns. And this is one of the big goals, I think, now. I think we better get right at this point again, right after I say this, that the decisions will be made by conjunctions of intelligence organizations, big tech, and psychiatrists who will judge the people. Now, if this isn't anti-Christian time coming, I don't know what is. And these people in China who can't even travel, and now they just call a friend who has a low social credit score, and that can lower theirs. 1.4 billion people are under this, Lou. So we really urge all of you to contact your congressman, and that you pray that President Trump will learn the truth about what's going on, because this is a whole world project. It's an anti-human plan, and this is a system of psychiatric controllers using computer terminals to control humanity. And Paul Watson said it's a system of rewards and punishment, and of course, it's not going to end well. If this gets instituted, it would make mass slaughters look like childhood games, I think. And we know this is going on. Paul Watson brought up that there was a murder case recently in which Amazon was told by the judge to turn over 2 days of listening. Now, that proves they were listening. People will be treated as second-class citizens who do not accept these brain implants. We're going into a predatory phase, but, you know, this need not happen. We can pray for repentance here in America. Let's hear what Biden did say about the guns, Lou.
Yes, let me find that.
And we'll pick up Dr. Peter Jones next week, all of his cautions about Marxism.
Yes, this appeared in the Washington Times, and it was dated Monday, September 2nd, 2019. Title was Joe Biden wants ban on magazines, this is in quotes, magazines that can hold multiple bullets. Former Vice President Joseph R. Biden either called for the banning of most handguns or displayed basic misunderstanding of the simplest of firearms terminology. Campaigning Monday in Iowa, Mr. Biden demanded the elimination of, quote, magazines that can hold multiple bullets in them, unquote, calling such a ban so obvious that only ill motive could explain it. The idea, and this is in quotes, the idea that we don't have elimination of assault-type weapons, magazines that can hold multiple bullets in them, is absolutely mindless. It is no violation of the Second Amendment. It's just a bow to the special interests of the gun manufacturers and the NRA, he said at a Labor Day picnic in Cedar Rapids. The phrase, magazines that can hold multiple bullets, raised eyebrows, though Ryan Safedra of the Daily Wire explained why while posting the clip. And this is Mr. Sabadra's words. Joe Biden makes the most extreme gun control push of all the 2020 Democrat presidential candidates. Biden calls for banning magazines that can hold multiple bullets in them. All magazines hold multiple bullets. That's the point. This call from Biden would ban most handguns, with the exception of old-fashioned revolvers, whose basic design concept has remained unchanged since the six shooters of the Old West. Modern design handguns store multiple bullets and magazines. So we don't know. This is long speaking. We don't know if Joe Biden was just making another one of his big gaffes that he's constantly making, or if he wanted to get rid of all those handguns.
Yes, and then we had Jay Johnson. You recall he used to be the Homeland Security head, and his grandfather, I think, was a full-fledged communist, and he said that he thought this time things might be different. The congressmen were coming back into Congress, and there was a move on after that last shooting there in Texas. Maybe now we'd get a little action. We, you know, something would happen. But some people have really opened her mouth a lot, and one was Ilhan Omar. She was calling for the UN to handle the migration crisis at the southern border, and we know what that would be. This was from Fox News, August 29th, 2019. She said, we should do what any other country does by dealing with this situation in a serious way. So we have to bring in the United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees, an agency that has the expertise and the training to handle massive flows of refugees humanely. This is bringing in the world government. This is turning us into Europe. Why does she want to do this? We have to really ask about this, don't we? Why? It doesn't make any sense for us to be committing these kinds of human rights violation, to have these policies in the way we interact with migrants and asylum seekers, blah, 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 blah. And so we have these people who don't love America very much, to put it mildly, and they're really here. And I think we will get into next week probably mentioning the other congresswoman who married her brother. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's what some of the latest information says. In fact, let me see if I can just at least find the headline here.
Yeah, give us the headline.
It says, and this was from WorldNetDaily.com, on dated September 3rd.
Give us a paragraph or two from that.
Yeah, the legal husband of U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, and the father of her three children, Ahmed Hirsi, has confirmed to friends that the congresswoman married her brother in a fraudulent immigration scheme, according to sources that spoke to Powerline blogger Scott Johnson. Hirsi has said, however, that he did not know at the time that Omar was married to her brother, Ahmed Noor Saeed Elmi, Johnson wrote Tuesday. The Powerline blogger said his sources in the Somali community in Minnesota further say Omar is threatening Hirsi that he would be in trouble along with her if the truth were to come out.
And, yes, that's a little nugget there. So, you see, the game is not over yet. The fat lady has not sung. But on this day, we are very, very worried. We must pray strongly for President Trump, for the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and not to be bamboozled by the global government plan that really is an anti-human plan to eventually kill off most of the population. We really can't have this. We need to pray for Matt Drudge, this FCC symposium, to shut down anything viral and get him. And certainly we must pray that the Chinese credit score, social credit score, does not become the template here in America. Though we have the real ID, all of this, it must be limited. It must be stopped right at the White House door. This was a hard program to bring to you. We had a lot of satanic opposition. That tells us it's important. Please pray for us at the Divided Kingdom. Please pray for President Trump and his family, and for liberty in America, and most of all, repentance in this country, so that we can turn back to Jesus Christ. End abortion. Learn the scriptures as God revealed them to us. It's so important. Pray for your family. Good night.